guess, comma, if he's white on rice with her.
Yeah, the whole point there was like, because we're on the way out.
No, absolutely.
Like, stop at certain times of the day, and when you ask the doctor, they have to do it. Yep, get low on gas.
I'm sure there's something else further down the road here in West Texas.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. You ready, Daniel? Paul, you red eye? All right, cool. You like it?
Absolutely.
I'm glad I was able to broaden your mind a little bit. Spicy, you mean? Oh, okay. Wasn't it like a buffet?
They didn't have a buffet today.
Oh, they didn't. So you just ordered whatever?
Yeah, I ordered like a goat combo or whatever.
Sounds good. Order. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this conference and all the people that have come out and all the great things that have already taken place. We just pray that you'd bless our time now and the rest of the day. May it honor and glorify you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 14 really quickly. So this is just a seminar on how to learn a foreign language, and I'm going to go through some of the things that I've learned over the years learning foreign languages. For the last 20 years, learning foreign languages has been one of my biggest hobbies. I mean, I've just kind of been obsessed with learning foreign languages ever since I was about 17 or 18 years old. I didn't really get a very young start, but around 17, 18, I started studying a lot of foreign languages, and I've been able to go soul winning in a whole bunch of different languages and win people to Christ in other languages. The first thing that I want to bring out, let's just start with reading this scripture, and then I'm going to get into all the practical things about learning a language. It says in Luke 14, 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And the first thing I want to bring up about learning foreign language is that you count the cost of learning a foreign language. I think one of the biggest reasons why people think that maybe they don't have the aptitude or that they don't have the ability to learn a foreign language is because they have an unrealistic view about how hard it is to learn a foreign language. They think it's easier than it is. Let me just come right out and tell you, now, I'm not trying to discourage you, but I just want to tell you that learning a foreign language is a big job. It requires a lot of work. And so don't think that you're going to be able to find some silver bullet or some formula where this is going to be quick or painless or easy. It's hard, and it's not for everybody because it's going to take a major commitment. Now, if you look at what it takes to learn a foreign language, the best way I think to break this down is by how many hours it's going to take you to learn a language. And if you look up what different educational institutions will say, what the government says, what different foreign language associations will say, they all give different estimates about how long it takes, but pretty much they will range anywhere from like 600 hours to 2,500 hours to be able to at least speak in that language at a pretty good conversational level, just a basic level of fluency, 600 to 2,500 hours. And let me just say right away, I don't believe the 600 figure for 1 second. I don't think that's realistic, okay? So let's just go with a conservative figure. Let's say 1,000 hours it's going to take you to learn your foreign language to where you can have conversations, go soul winning. I'm not saying you're going to be an expert, but you'll be able to get by pretty well in the language. Let's say 1,000 hours, which, if anything, it's probably going to take a little more than that. But let's just say 1,000 hours, okay? Now, a lot of people think like, oh, man, if you just spend 10 minutes a day, you know, you're going to get this done. All right, well, let's do the math on that. 10 minutes a day, is going to get the job done in 16 and a half years. Okay? 10 minutes a day, you're going to get to 1,000 hours in 16 and a half years. And I'd venture to say by the time you get there, you probably forgot the stuff you were learning 16 years ago. So this is not realistic at all. Okay? 20 minutes a day, that would break down to 8 years. And this is not to be an expert. This is just to learn how to speak a foreign language. Okay, 40 minutes a day, that would be like 4 years. An hour a day, that sounds pretty committed, right? I mean, I'm spending an hour a day learning my foreign language, 1 hour every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That still would take you almost 3 years just to get to the 1,000-hour mark, okay? If you spent 2 hours a day, it would still take 16 months. And if you spent 3 hours a day, it would still take almost a year. So if you, realistically, if you want to be a foreign language speaker, if you're just starting out right now, and next January you wanted to be a foreign language speaker, and you're going out and soul winning in Spanish, you're talking to people in Spanish, having conversations, you know, you should expect to spend 3 hours a day to get there in that amount of time. Now, these numbers would probably be surprising to most people. They would probably think that it was easier than that, it would take less time than that. But I just want to start out by giving you a realistic expectation of the amount of work involved, because you might just decide, you know what, that's not worth it to me, or I'm not interested in investing a lot of time like that. But at least know what you're getting into, okay? Now, the second thing I want to bring up is, which language should you learn? You know, maybe you're not really sure which language to learn and you haven't started yet. Well, I think that the best language for you to learn is the language that you love. Because you better love it if you're going to spend 1,000 hours learning it. You're going to have to love it or you're going to burn out. You're going to get sick of it. You're not going to follow through. Now, as far as which languages I think are the most strategic or effective for serving the Lord, for us, especially in the United States, I think a no-brainer is that obviously number one is going to be Spanish is going to make the most sense for you to learn. Spanish is one of the most important languages in the world. And obviously, I don't have to tell you all the reasons why you should learn Spanish, but Phoenix is filled with people who only speak Spanish. California is the same way. Even if you go to other parts of the United States, even in the Midwest, there are huge pockets of Spanish speakers. You've got most of South America that speaks Spanish, Central America. You've got some islands of the Caribbean. So Spanish is kind of a no-brainer. Number two, I would say, would probably be French. And the reason that I say that is because it's not just France. French is the official language in 29 countries. So there are 29 countries that have French as an official language. Obviously, we've got the French portion of Canada. Haiti, I think, would be a great place to do missions, a great place to do soul winning. It's close. It's a very poor country. And the official language is French, okay? You have a few other islands in the Caribbean, and a lot of countries in Africa speak French. You know, too many to even list. Madagascar is a huge one, but a whole bunch of other countries, French is big. Okay, so I would say Spanish, French. Number three, Portuguese, again, for a similar reason, because you've got Brazil, which is a massive, poor country that would probably be very receptive. You've also got some islands in the Caribbean. You've got places in Africa like Angola, Mozambique, Cape Verde. Because Spain, France, and Portugal have colonies all over the world, those are going to be effective. And then I'm just going to throw in a bonus language, Greek. And the reason that I throw that in is because you've got 13 million Greek speakers. The young generation is pretty receptive to the gospel, as we showed in our film where we went to Cyprus. So you've got Greece and Cyprus, and obviously the bonus of being able to read the New Testament in the original language. And so if that's something that's interesting to you, that could help keep you motivated as well. And so those are some thoughts on languages. But really, at the end of the day, if you're going to succeed, you've got to pick a language that you love, and you've got to pick a language where realistically you're going to have a chance to use it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it, all right? So any language that you love that you're going to be able to use is a good language to learn. All right, so the next thing I want to bring up is, which language program should you use to get started, okay? You're going to need some kind of a comprehensive language learning program to get you started. Now, in the olden days, you might grab a textbook or something, but this is 2020, And a textbook is not the best way to learn a foreign language, okay? Languages are best learned through speaking and listening, not just reading alone, okay? You want to involve as many of your senses as possible because learning a foreign language is all about memory, right? It's about remembering things. And our brains are designed to forget things. Now, we might think this is a curse. You know, we just wish that we would just remember everything. I just wish I had a photographic memory and I could just read the phone book and recite it back. But you know what? Actually, that would be a curse. Our brains are designed to forget things so that we don't go insane, all right? Think about all the bad things that happen in our life. Think about all the bad experiences that we go through in our life, just angry feelings and just disappointment, sadness, grief, sorrow, loss. So our brains are designed to just constantly be forgetting things. Also, you know, we would be overwhelmed with information if we remembered everything. It would just be too much information in our brains. So our brain is constantly deciding what is important and what is not important. And our brain is just constantly throwing things in the trash that it doesn't consider important. Okay. So in order to learn a foreign language, we have to convince our brain that this stuff's important. And we also have to make it memorable, right? If you stopped and thought about the things that you remember from your childhood, you know, they were probably kind of extreme situations that you remember. Things that were very painful, sad, very happy, tastes, smells, sounds. You know, every time my wife cooks with garlic, I'm transported to my grandparents' house because they always just used so much garlic when they cooked. So anytime I smell garlic, it's just boom. Or you'll hear a song and boom, you're transported to a certain experience you had or whatever. So we have to convince our brains that learning a language is important. Don't throw away this information. Keep this information. And then number two, we have to make it memorable by involving as many of our senses as we can. And since language is primarily spoken and heard, just reading is not even close to being enough. You don't want just a visual input. You got to have more senses involved, speaking, hearing. I mean, did we learn how to read English first, or did we learn how to speak and listen to English first? First, we listened and spoke long before we ever learned the alphabet. Okay. Well, it's the same way in a foreign language. You've got to learn how to speak. So here are some language programs. I'm gonna throw out the names of these, and I'm going to kind of give you what I think are the pros and cons of some of these and what they have to offer. The ones I'm going to talk about are Duolingo, Pimsleur, Rosetta Stone, and Language Transfer, okay? Now, let's start out talking about Duolingo. Here's the great thing about Duolingo. It's free. So there's no commitment. You know, maybe you're not sure if you want to learn a foreign language. That's something that you can fool around with, play around, and you haven't lost anything. If it doesn't work out, hey, nobody's going to care if you lose your streak on Duolingo, right? It's not a big deal. I lost my streak a few weeks ago, so it's not a big deal. But I do have like over a quarter million XP. And you get 10 XP per lesson. I have 278,000 XP. So you can see I've spent a lot of time on Duolingo, all right? I've spent just a sick amount of time. It's a sickness with me. So, you know, Duolingo, does it work? My philosophy is whatever you do, if you're having fun and it's making you think in that language and it's making you work, it's effective, period. Whatever is fun and you can stick with, whatever you work is going to work if you do the work, okay? Now, I personally, like I said, I've done a ton of languages on Duolingo. One of the languages that I did a lot on Duolingo is Spanish, and I already knew how to speak Spanish before I got on Duolingo, but then I got on Duolingo and I worked my way through Duolingo and I noticed my Spanish got a lot better. Like I noticed a real world value when I spoke Spanish after doing Duolingo that it had really helped my Spanish. So I do believe it has a real world potential that it works. Okay, so it's free. You can do it on your phone, you can do it on the computer. But I like it a lot better on the computer than on the phone, okay? I like to sit at the keyboard and do it. I just find that a lot better. But when I'm out and about, the phone works as well. Okay, Pimsleur. This is my absolute favorite, though, is Pimsleur. I think this is the best language learning program in existence. Now, there are some downsides to Pimsleur, though. Number one, it can be expensive. Now, one workaround with that is that a lot of times you can check out Pimsleur at the library for free. You can get the CDs and things at the library, but it can be a little bit expensive. That's the downside. But here's what I love about Pimsleur. It's all audio, no reading and writing. It's 100% audio-based, so it really helps you dial in your pronunciation in the early days because you're not tainted by the letters that you're seeing on the paper. It's just all just sounds, and you're just focusing on the sounds. And the way Pimsleur works is that you spend a half hour a day, no more, no less. You spend a half hour a day. But I will say this, you have to be really focused during that half hour. You can't be zoning out. It's an intense half hour. But because it's an intense half hour, it's a very productive half hour. You really learn a lot. I just think it's amazing. Now, another downside of Pimsleur is that it only takes you so far. Some languages, it only has 30 lessons. Some languages, it only has 60. Greek, it only has 60. Hebrew, it only has 90. But languages like Spanish, French, and Portuguese has like 150. So you can go really far in those three languages. Some languages, like for example, Hungarian. My wife is half Hungarian, half German. And so I've been learning Hungarian off and on for many, many years. And it's one of the most difficult languages in the world, okay? It's very frustrating trying to learn Hungarian. Well, I got on Pimsleur Hungarian, and for the first time in my life, I felt like, I can do this. Like, wow, I think I'm going to speak Hungarian. This is working. And so it was just like a revelation when I started doing it. But then I got to lesson 30, and I'm just like, and there's just nothing left. So everybody needs to contact Pimsleur and ask them to do a second level in Hungarian. But I'm just telling you, even with a really hard language, it's effective. I like it. But again, high cost, and in certain languages, it only goes so far. Then we got Rosetta Stone, okay? Now, here's the thing about Rosetta Stone. In the past, it's been really expensive. But now what they offer is like a monthly subscription to this. You can get 3 months for $60. And if you're actually pretty dedicated and spending like 45 minutes to an hour a day on it, you can crank through like two or three levels of Rosetta Stone in that 3 months. So you can just spend $60 and in certain languages crank through the whole program. Again, languages like Spanish, Portuguese, French, there's going to be more. So maybe a 6-month membership, you know, that only works out to like $20 a month. So it's not too bad. The negative about Rosetta Stone is that you're strapped to the computer, you know. And you can also do it on your phone, but Duolingo and Rosetta Stone, you know, you got to have your phone or your computer going. The thing I like about Pimsleur is that I don't have to be looking at a screen. I can be out doing stuff with my hands and just using my brain for that. And then there's another audio program, and this one's pretty new to me, but I really like it. It's called Language Transfer, and it's available on SoundCloud.com, or you can just Google Language Transfer. And what's cool about Language Transfer, it's all audio. So it's similar to Pimsleur in that regard. But the difference is that the Pimsleur, like I said, is a strenuous half hour. Language Transfer is not as strenuous. It's a little more laid back. And each lesson's only like 10 minutes long. And it's really laid back. And it's basically this guy is just kind of casually talking to you. And he's explaining to you how everything works. So instead of just telling you, say this, say that, or what's this, what's that, he actually stops and explains everything to you and breaks everything down in a really logical way. And he tries to tie it in with words you already know in English and stuff like that. So it's really a different approach. And I think it's a pretty cool way to start in a language. But it's not going to take you very far. It only teaches you the basics. But it's a great start. And it's free. So again, there's no commitment. You jump into the language transfer lessons. I know they have French. They have Italian. They have Greek. I don't think they have Spanish, but they have several languages. Okay, and then another language program that I want to give a shout out to is there's a software called Anki, A-N-K-I, and it's a software for making flashcards. I'm not going to talk too much about it right now because about a month ago, I uploaded a YouTube video all about Anki cards, and in that video, I actually kind of do a walkthrough of my process for how I make the cards, where you go to download the software, the tutorials to help you and everything like that. But I will say this, in 20 years of studying languages, Anki has been the most revolutionary thing that I've ever tried. I've been doing it for like 9 months now, and it is the biggest game changer as far as just learning vocabulary. It's the best flashcard system. It's just really amazing. And so it's been a real game changer. I highly, highly recommend it. Now, in the beginning, it's going to take you about an hour to sit down and figure out how Anki works, watch the tutorials. But spend that hour or two to figure out Anki and follow the instructions on the tutorials and everything. And I'm telling you, in the long run, it's going to pay great dividends. All right, so those are just an overview of some programs, because I think any of these programs are more effective than getting a textbook or something like that. These are more modern methods. They're more scientific methods for your learning. Okay, so number one, we said count the cost, right? Number two, which language? We talked about that. Number three, some language programs to get you started. Now, the fourth point I want to talk about is that speaking a language is essential. So it's not enough just to go through Rosetta Stone, Duolingo, Pimsleur. I don't care how many Anki cards you make. You must actually speak the language. Speaking is crucial. This is what's wrong with Bible College Greek and Bible College Hebrew. They're not actually learning it as a spoken language, and therefore it is virtually impossible to learn the language without actually speaking. You get so much more out of speaking than listening, okay? Now, in the rest of your life, you know, be slow to speak and quick to hear and, you know. Okay, this is the exception to that. This is where you want to be a loudmouth, all right, is when you're learning a foreign language. Because you have to speak it to learn it. That's how you learned English. Now, when you learned English, you didn't start out speaking in perfect grammar, did you? When you're a little toddler and you're talking, you're going to just use a little bit of a Tarzan-type language. And, you know, for example, my daughter right now, she just, every pronoun that she uses is her, him, them. She doesn't do he, she, and they. Never. So, like, she'll be singing Psalm 139, and she sings, "For them speak against thee wickedly, for them speak against," you know, instead of "for they speak against," it's just always them, them, him did this, her did this, me this. That's how little kids learn to talk. Now, I have no doubt that she will one day be a fluent English speaker that uses I, we, he, she, it, they. Okay, you're going to get there, but you can't be afraid to speak wrong. If you're waiting to be perfect to start speaking, you're never going to do it. What you have to do is just make a bunch of flashcards, learn a bunch of vocabulary, do a bunch of Duolingo or whatever. You have to start using it right away, right? And you start talking in that kind of Tarzan language and just get your point across. Don't worry about grammar. See, a lot of schools and so forth, they'll just start you right in with a bunch of heavy grammar. And right away, what that's going to do is just discourage you. And it just makes it feel impossible. It's overwhelming. It's better to do grammar study much later. First, learn how to speak the language. Then, once you can actually speak and get by and have conversations, once you're finished with Rosetta Stone, finished with Pimsleur, finished with Duolingo and that kind of stuff, once you've done all that, then hit the grammar books. So look, I have foreign language textbooks that I work through. I have grammar books, but I save that for advanced level. And then when you're at an advanced level, as you're reading about the grammar, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Oh yeah, that looks familiar. And you're kind of just filling in gaps. But trying to learn grammar from scratch at the beginning is just really overwhelming and a bad idea. So you've got to speak. So how are you going to get speaking the language right away? Well, if you're surrounded by speakers of that language, then this is going to be a piece of cake because you just talk to people and nothing could be simpler, right? So if you have people in your family, like, for example, my wife speaks German, so that's just really easy for me to just practice German every day because I just talk to my wife in German. But not everybody has a built-in language partner, and most people don't. But you could have people at your church. But even if you have people at your church, they may not have the patience to listen to you speak Tarzan language for an hour to them. And so, and here's just the sad truth about it. Most people that you try to talk to in your new language aren't going to have the patience, period. And even if their heart's in the right place, you know what they'll do? They'll constantly finish your sentences for you. They'll constantly correct you. And so it's hard to find somebody that's actually going to be a good person to practice with in real life sometimes. So here's a workaround for that, because you've got to speak the language. How do you do it? Well, there's a great website called italki.com. So this is italki.com. So it's the letter I, talk, another I.com. And there are other websites like this. This is just one of them. And on this website, italki, you basically get set up with other foreigners to speak to over video Skype. Okay, so you video Skype with people in other countries for a half hour or an hour or something. And you can do this one of two ways. You can pay someone, and here's the thing, a lot of these countries have really bad economies, so it's really cheap. Sometimes it could be like $4 an hour or something, $5 an hour, $7 an hour. It doesn't have to be expensive. And most of them offer a trial lesson for $1. So the first half hour or the first hour, $1. Okay, so you can try out a bunch of different teachers and then find the one that you like. Now, here's the benefit to paying someone. You're the boss, right? When you're paying somebody, you make the rules. So you can tell them, hey, here's what I want to talk about, and I don't want you to correct me too much. Let's just communicate. I'm not trying to be perfect. Let's just talk. And so you can kind of set the tone and talk about what you want to talk about. And so that's the great thing about paying. But there's another thing you can do if you don't want to spend the money. You can use italki for free. And I've done this many times as well. You do a language exchange. So people all over the world are learning English. English is the most popular language in the world to study. So what you'll do is, let's say you're learning Spanish. You'll find somebody in South America who wants to learn English. You want to learn Spanish. And the way this works is you go back and forth. So sometimes the way that I've done it is, hey, we're going to spend the first half hour talking in English, and I'm going to help you. And then we're going to spend the second half hour talking in Spanish, and you're going to help me. And then other times I've done it where we just kind of go back and forth. We'll just do 10 minutes in each language, 10 minutes in Greek, 10 minutes of English, 10 minutes of Greek, 10 minutes of English. And then that way it's just kind of a win-win, and you don't spend any money. And again, that can be effective. It's free. The only downside of that is you're only spending half the time doing your target language, but who cares? You kind of need a break anyway sometimes, right? So those are some options for you with technology that we have now. I mean, when I went to Cyprus last summer, in the 2 weeks leading up to the Cyprus trip, I spent 1 hour a day every single day on video Skype. And it just did wonders because I'd studied a ton of Greek, but as far as taking it from just studied theoretical knowledge to getting it from my brain to my mouth and actually using it, those 14 hours on video Skype just were amazing, so that when I got to Cyprus, I was ready to hit the ground running because I'd already been getting a lot of speaking practice. So I love that website. There's two ways to use it. You can either pay or you can do it for free. Another big reason, or another big thing that I like to do when I'm studying a foreign language, is to read the Bible in that language, okay? Reading the Bible in that language. Now, how do you do this? Don't look at the English. Don't get a parallel Bible where it's Spanish on one side and English on the other. Why? Remember what I explained earlier, how your brain is designed to forget things so that we can all forget our painful past, okay? Well, here's the thing. When you're reading it with the English right there, you know what your brain is subconsciously thinking? Well, I don't need to know that. I'll just look at the English. Because our brains want to take the path of least resistance. So if the English is there, you're going to use it. And then your brain's thinking, well, this isn't important. I don't need to learn Spanish because I just got the English right there. So you have to get rid of the English and you have to just read Spanish. So just get a plain old Spanish Bible. That's the way to read the Bible in another language. Okay. And the best way to do this is pick the passages of the Bible that you're already the most familiar with in English. That way you already know what's going on. And look, I'm telling you, when I'm studying a foreign language, if I pick up the New Testament in that language, it's way easier to read than if I just pick like a mystery novel in that language and start reading it. Why? Because in the mystery novel, I have no clue what's going on until I read it. Whereas, in the New Testament, reading the book of Matthew, I already know whatever chapter is about. So when I'm reading it in that other language, I already know the context. I'm not going to lose track of the story. So whatever passages in the Bible you know the best, that's where you start reading in your target language. And always, narrative is going to be much easier than poetry or prophecy. So you're going to want to start in books like Genesis, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are going to be your best bet. Acts can be a little tough, but narrative is always going to be your best bet. Now, the sixth thing I want to talk about is how do you make time for this? You know, I started out by talking about just how this is going to take an incredible amount of time, that people just totally underestimate how long it's going to take to learn a language. And like I said at the beginning, if you think you're going to learn a language in 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day, it will never happen. I don't care how smart you are, it will not happen. Your baby and toddler and little child, did they spend 10 minutes a day learning English? They're learning English 12 hours a day, every day. Am I right? That's how they learned it. Okay. So you're not going to learn a foreign language in 10 or 20 minutes a day. Don't believe the gimmicks. You know, at some point, if you actually want to learn a foreign language, you have to invest hours a day, at least 1 or 2 hours a day. So you say, well, how am I going to have the time? And I like, you know, when I'm intensely learning a language, I like to spend about 5 hours a day in that language. Okay. Now you say, well, how in the world, you know, ain't nobody got time for that. You know, how can anybody spend 2 hours a day or 4 hours a day? You must multitask. And it's the little bits of time throughout our day that we're constantly wasting. If you'd redeem the time, you can learn a lot, okay? But I'm telling you, so many of us just waste so much time. I mean, some of you probably spend 4 or 5 hours a day on Facebook, but that's none of my business. But anyway, you multitask, okay? Now, one of the best multitasks that I do is that once you get to a high enough level in your language, do your Bible reading in that language. Because you're going to read your Bible anyway. You might as well read your Bible in that language. But obviously, that's at a higher level. As a beginner, you're still going to need to do your devotions in English. Now, look, some people, they're so King James only that they're like scared to read the Bible in another language. I mean, I'm constantly talking to people in our church that are native speakers in other languages, and it's like, I only read the King James. And I'm trying to tell them, like, read the Bible in your language. Because how are you going to reach your people? How are you going to go soul winning to the Spanish people, the Portuguese people, the French people? You need to read that Bible in that language so that you can get all that spiritual terminology and get all that. And not only that, but I think that reading the Bible in a foreign language helps you learn the Bible so well, because you will find things will jump out at you that you've never seen before reading it in English. I mean, I remember just reading through the Bible cover to cover in Spanish, and I would come to certain things, and I would just be like, what? I'd be like, I grabbed the King James. Does it really say that? And sure enough, it did say that. It's just that in English, sometimes we just kind of read over things. We just kind of blow past things. The good thing about reading the Bible in a foreign language is it really forces you to slow down. And different things will jump out at you. Different things will grab your attention. And obviously, you know, I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God without error. And for me, it's the standard by which all foreign language Bibles are judged. But you know what? There are a lot of great foreign language Bibles in other languages. And so, you know, reading the Bible in Spanish, reading it in German, I've read the New Testament in Norwegian, Romanian, you know, I always learn a lot of cool new stuff. And I think it's fun. I enjoy reading the Bible. I was going to read my Bible anyway. So it's like a win-win, killing two birds with one stone by reading your Bible in a foreign language, okay? And so I highly recommend that. I think it's great. And there's a lot of just funny things when you're reading another language. Like I recently finished the New Testament in Norwegian, and I thought this was the most hilarious thing. Because you know how words are, they kind of mean something a little different in other languages? Well, you know, we have the English word ransack, right? So what does it mean to ransack something? It's like basically somebody goes into a house and they just tear the place apart looking for something, right? So they're looking for jewelry, they're looking for money, whatever. So they just completely ransack the place. And you come home and just everything's strewn everywhere. Well, it's funny, I was reading the New Testament in Norwegian, and it kept using this word basically to just mean like to search or to look for example. So it said like basically instead of like examine yourselves, whether you're in the, it's like, hey, ransack yourselves. Whether you're in the faith, you know, it's just like, and it just kept, it used, I don't remember the rest of the times, but it kept using it over and over again, this word ransacke, and I was just laughing at how it sounded, you know, about how you're going to ransack your own heart and everything, you know, or Jesus Christ, he said, I'm the one that searched the hearts, he's like, I'm going to ransack your, you know, and obviously it doesn't mean the same thing, and another funny thing, and this is a little bit inappropriate, but when you're reading it in Norwegian, you know, the English cuss word, S-H-I, whatever, basically when you're, in Norwegian, that's not a cuss word. It just means like, you know, dirt. And even your grandma will say it to you without even blushing, right? So they'll say this word all day long. That was the first thing the missionary told me when I got to Norway. He's like, hey, just don't get offended. You're going to hear us saying this a lot. You know, we're going to be dropping this word all the time. It's not a bad word. But, you know, it's kind of funny when you're reading the New Testament and it's talking about all this bleeping, you know, this bleeping of the bleep of fornication, and you got to cleanse yourself from all this bleep of the flesh and everything. You know? That's pretty funny, you know, just reading it in other languages. There's some fun things. I, to me, it's one of the most enjoyable things that I do. And just reading it in the original Greek, there are a lot of little kind of funny little plays on words. Things kind of rhyme a little bit sometimes. And just, you know, just but really, it doesn't matter if you're reading it in Greek, Spanish, German. There are all kinds of little fun things you'll come across. It's interesting. You'll learn things and so forth. But multitasking, okay? How do you have time to learn a foreign language? You've got to multitask. One of the big things I multitask with is exercise. You know, I like to exercise. I exercise for about an hour a day usually. And I always combine that with some kind of a foreign language learning. If you're, you know, maybe you take walks. You know, that's when I do my half-hour Pimsleur lesson on a walk every day, right? I go out in the garden and pull weeds. If I'm pulling weeds, I'm working on Pimsleur. I'm working on language transfer. If I'm in the shower, I turn on one of these language programs. And even if you're just listening to something, you could turn on an audio Bible in that language. You could turn on, you know, audio books in that language. Children's books are sometimes great. Cartoons, just, you know, because they're simple, they're easy. Even if you could just listen to something, you could listen to talk radio in that language. You could just listen to anything. And just every little bit. Because remember, you're trying to get toward that 1,000 hours or 2,000 hours of exposure to the language. And so multitasking is everything. Anytime you're doing any kind of a menial task, you're taking a shower, you're getting dressed, you're doing chores, you're driving to work, driving home from work. I mean, there's all this time that we waste when you could easily just whip out your phone. I mean, like, I'll scan my boarding pass to get on an airplane, whip out my phone, do a lesson of Duolingo. By the time I get through the jet bridge and get to my seat, I've cranked out a lesson. And those little things actually add up over time. And so you've got to multitask. Now, the last thing, and I'm going to open it up for questions. The last thing I want to say is just recommended reading. I want to recommend you two books on learning foreign languages. These are the two most transformative books that I've read on learning a foreign language. And not only do these books teach you how to learn a foreign language, I just find books like this motivating. Okay. So the first book I want to recommend is Fluent Forever by Gabriel Weiner. Okay, Fluent Forever by Gabriel Weiner. And the second book that I want to recommend is Fluent in 3 Months by Benny Lewis. Now, don't believe him when he says it's only going to take 3 months, but it's a great book, though. It's an amazing book. It's actually my favorite book on learning a language. Fluent in 3 Months by Benny Lewis. You can probably buy it on Amazon for $6 or $7 or whatever. But these two books are great. And here's what I do with these two books, okay? Because like I said, I find these kind of books really motivating. And what's the most important thing about learning a foreign language? Staying motivated, right? So here's how I do it. I don't just read through these books all in a row. I'll basically read one chapter. And then by the time I'm done with that chapter, I'm usually so motivated that I want to just learn my language for a while and do that for a long time. And then when I start feeling less motivated again, then I grab it, read the next chapter, and then I'm motivated again, you know. So these books are motivational as well as educational. So anyway, let me just open it up to questions now. Does anybody have any questions about learning a foreign language? Yes. And you know what we should probably do? Let's light up this microphone here. Do I have a guy in the sound room? I think so. So testing 1, 2, 3. Let's hand out the microphone so that whoever's asking a question, we can get it for the internet crowd as well. Yes.
About songs.
Songs in foreign languages? I think songs are a great way to learn a foreign language. Because, you know, obviously songs are something that we remember 20, 30 years later. We can still remember every advertising jingle from the 80s, or at least I can. And so I've memorized tons of songs in other languages, and I think that that's highly effective. Yeah, that's a great point. Any other questions? Who's got a question? All right, let's pass the mic here. Yes, can I get somebody to be the mic passer? Or when you're done with a question, you're the mic passer. How's that? What's your question?
How do you manage learning or maintaining multiple languages at a time? Because you said you like to spend like 5 hours a day learning a language. But obviously, I mean, I don't think you're spending like 15, 20 hours a day.
No, you really should focus on one language at a time. One language at a time as your main language. Now, I don't think it ever hurts to fool around in some other language that's not important. You know, everybody's done a few XP in Gaelic or whatever. But here's the thing. Just as long as it doesn't take away from your main language. Okay, but don't be such a purist where you're like, no, I can only learn Spanish. Here's the thing. If I've been studying, let's say my main language is Spanish, right? And I'm studying Spanish for hours and hours and hours. You know, if I'm feeling a little burned out and I'm like, man, you know what? I feel like doing a little bit of German or whatever. Then you know what? Do a little German for like 10 or 20 minutes and then you'll probably be ready to go back to Spanish. And it's not going to hurt you. And a lot of people say like, oh, if you learn a bunch of languages, you're going to get confused. And that is true a little bit. You get a little confused. But the benefit you get from learning multiple languages is greater than the confusion. Every once in a while when I'm speaking Spanish, I'll throw in a German word and people just look at me like, huh? Or I'm speaking Greek and I'll just say something in Spanish and people are like, what? Excuse me? But guess what? At least I learned both languages and got people saved in both. So yeah, you're going to get a little confused sometimes, but in the end, it's a benefit to learn more languages. But so long as it doesn't take you away from your main language, because you have to have your one like focus language, right? So at any given time, I have one language that's my main language. Like that's the main language, that's the priority, that's the do or die language. And then sometimes I'll even like reward myself. Like, hey, if I get through X amount of hours in this, then I can do a little bit of that fun language that has no point in real life. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah, you got to focus on one because, yeah.
So a lot of people focus on reaching fluent. They always want to say, I'm fluent in
yeah.
language. How important is it to be considered fluent? Or what do you consider fluent?
Fluent is kind of a meaningless term because what is fluent? If you ask 10 different people what fluent means, you're going to get 10 different answers. So people are constantly asking me how many languages I speak. And it's kind of a difficult question to answer because of the fact that I speak a whole bunch of different languages at different levels. And, well, which ones are you fluent in? It's like, well, it depends on what you mean by fluent. Now, in my opinion, because everybody's got their own opinion, and it's going to be different for different people. But for me, my goal in a language is to get to where I can say anything that I want to say, I can get my point across and communicate anything I want to say, even if it's a little ugly, and maybe I go a little roundabout way, but I can get everything across, and I can understand, you know, 90% of what's coming at me, and whatever I don't understand, I can ask for clarification. So I feel like if I can get by and have a meaningful conversation with people, and I can go soul winning in that language, and I can preach to them, and anything I need to say, I can find a way to say it, even if, let's say, I have to use a little circumlocution. So sometimes, for example, you don't know the word for something. Like, you don't know, let's say, the word for the Congress or the Parliament or something. Then you might just say, you know, hey, it's a group of people that are making laws for the country. Oh, and then boom, and you just got your point across. So fluent is a totally meaningless. You know what fluent is like? Fluent is like when food is marked farm fresh or natural. You know, the FDA has not defined those terms. Any food could be labeled farm, fresh, natural, right? So there's not like a certified organic of fluency. So it's kind of a meaningless term. So I wouldn't get too hung up on that term. Anyone else have a question?
I'd just like to know if you have any tips for teaching children.
Teaching children? Well, you know, I haven't had a lot of success teaching my children foreign languages. I haven't really been that motivated to teach my children German because I kind of like having that secret language with my wife. Because when you live in a house with 13 people in 1,500 square feet, you need a little privacy. So my wife and I use German as a secret language. And two of them now are getting to where they understand a lot of it. So now we have to really go deep cover with Hungarian sometimes if we really want to go deep cover. I don't really have a lot of great tips for teaching it to children. I will say this. If you want to raise your children bilingual, this is one thing I know for sure, all right? If you want to raise your children bilingual, you have to speak 100% foreign language at home, and they would have to do English outside the home. Yeah. Because if you're like, we're going to do 50-50 at home, they're only going to speak English because of the fact that, again, like I said earlier, our brains will only learn what they think is important or necessary. So it has to be sink or swim at home. So it has to be 100%. So like if I wanted to raise my kids bilingual with German, we would have had to just do 100% German in our house. I do know that for a fact. Some of my kids have taken an interest in foreign languages. My son John right now is learning a ton of Greek. And so he's been taking an interest in that. My son Solomon has learned a lot of German, but I don't really know. I would just say all the same things. I mean, with my son John, I'm just like, okay, here's Duolingo. Here's language transfer. Here's flashcards, you know. So I'm not. You're going to have to ask somebody else that one. Any other questions? You want to meet me halfway?
Hey, if you have a language that you might have forgotten and you're trying to refresh yourself on it, do you got any advice to trying to get up to speed a little quicker?
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. I've learned foreign languages and then went years without speaking them. Getting it back is fast. Like, even though you'll forget fast, you also get it back fast. And that's why we were saying, you know, you kind of focus on one language at a time, because you can go back and refresh old languages pretty quick. It's not that hard. But what I would recommend if you are refreshing an old language, you know, something like Duolingo works pretty well for that, because you can just test out of things on Duolingo and you can just kind of crank through Duolingo really fast if you already know the language. Some of these audio programs that I'm recommending for beginners, you know, those are probably going to be too slow for you and you're going to be like, okay, I know this, you know. But Duolingo, you can kind of crank through. And as far as just getting the language back, I would probably just go, if you used to be pretty fluent in it, then I would say just go straight to italki.com, because you're probably ready for that. And just go straight to that, because that's the most effective, is actually speaking. So you might even bypass a lot of the study. If you used to be fluent and you're rusty, jump on italki and just start speaking Tarzan language and it'll come back. That's probably what I would say, is just go straight to the italki phase. Any other questions? You want to pass that back to him? Or sorry. Yes,
have you practiced maybe gospel presentations with people on italki and the response?
Yes. Uh-huh. Awesome. Yeah. So here's the thing. Especially if you're on italki, especially when you're paying the bill, you can talk about whatever you want. So it's like, hey, I'm going to give you the gospel 20 times. And you're getting paid to listen to it. And, you know, you could actually get people saved even. You know, if you're talking to them and giving them the gospel and everything. And I've had somebody on there get saved, you know, through preaching them the gospel on there. And so, you can. And in fact, you know, I already decided, because I'm going to be going back to Cyprus this June for another missions trip. And I already decided that, you know, I really want to hone in my Greek gospel presentation before I go there. So I'm probably going to spend the last few weeks before that trip just giving the gospel, you know, in Greek on italki. And hopefully I can even get some of those people saved. So, yeah, that's great. And here's the thing. You want to talk about multitasking, right, for learning a language? Go soul winning in a Spanish neighborhood. What, you know, once you get to that point. Oh, and you know what? I'm glad you remind me of this. Here's a really important thing, too. Okay. Because who here is interested in learning Spanish? Spanish is your language. Okay. That's the main thing, right? Let me say this, okay? I've won hundreds of people to the Lord in Spanish, but long before I ever won anyone to the Lord in Spanish, I won about 15 to 20 people to the Lord in Spanglish first. 15 to 20 at least in Spanglish before I did one 100% in Spanish. So here's how you build your confidence. There are so many people in Phoenix and in the United States who speak English, but they're not that great at English. But they kind of speak enough to English to get by, but not really enough to get saved, though, right? Because, you know, just because you know how to speak English on the construction site or at the grocery store doesn't mean you know things like salvation, heaven, hell, sin, resurrection, things like that. So what I used to do when I was first learning Spanish and I wasn't good enough to get all the way through the gospel is when I ran into those people who spoke broken English, is I would give them the gospel in a mix of English and Spanish. So I would give them all the verses in Spanish because it's easy just to read them a verse. So I would do all the verses in Spanish, and then I would explain whatever I could in Spanish, and anything I didn't know how to say, I'll do it in English. And then if the Spanish sentence pops into my head, I'll do it in Spanish. So I did about 15 or 20 of those Spanglish soul-winning encounters before I got to a full-blown Spanish salvation. And, you know, when we were in Cyprus, most of that was a mix of English and Greek, where we would show them all the verses in Greek, explain it partially in Greek, partially in English, and then I did get one person saved 100% in Greek. That's like a milestone that I work toward, but before you get to that milestone of getting somebody saved 100% in Spanish, get some Spanglish salvations if you can. You know, that's, I'm telling you, that's the way to do it. Any other questions real quick? We're just about out of time, but any other questions? Anybody else have a question? Can we get the mic over there?
When I was deciphering languages a long time ago, first thing you start is with is the alphabet of a language. How important is that, in your opinion?
Well, I think that if you're using a program like Pimsleur, it completely bypasses the written language and you start out just by speaking and hearing. I think that's the best way to start, just to nail down your pronunciation and not get too tainted by the alphabet. But I do obviously believe that, you know, if you do get into the written language, as soon as you get into the written language, yeah, you got to memorize the alphabet right away. So that's important. It's an easy step. Did you have a question, Charlotte? Somebody want to get her the microphone?
So, like, with learning, like, Asian languages, their alphabets are in, like, symbols. They aren't with, like, American letters. So do you have any, like, advice on how to learn those easier?
Yeah, I just say don't learn those. You know, that's one of the reasons why I personally have stayed away from some of the Asian languages like Chinese, just because it's just like, whoa. The fact that they don't have a written language that's phonetic is kind of a deal breaker for me, okay? But I will say this, Korean, learning the alphabet in Korean it's actually pretty phonetic. So Korean is pretty good. The one that you're really going to struggle with is Chinese because of the fact that it's just pictographs and they do not have a phonetic alphabet. As far as tips on that, I don't really have tips on it because I haven't actually done it, so... My tip is choose Korean instead of Chinese. All
right. I don't think the Chinese even know Chinese all the way.
What's that?
I don't think the Chinese even know Chinese all the way.
Yeah, even Chinese people, you know, they only know like maybe 5,000 characters or 3,000 characters or 10,000 characters. Or, I don't know, depending on their level of education. But even we in English, when we read a newspaper or something, we're going to run into words that we don't understand. They're going to run into words that they don't understand. But Chinese people read enough to figure it out. Oh, and by the way, here's another point. If you can understand 93 to 94% of the words on the page, then you'll be able to figure out the rest from context. So, you know, for example, the Greek New Testament has about 6,000 words in it, 6,000 different vocabulary words. So you'd have to learn like 93% to 94% of the text on a page to be able to understand what's on that page. And with Greek, that works out to be about 2,000 vocabulary words, because obviously some words are more common than others. So if you learn like the first, or if you learn the most important 2,000 words in Greek or 2,500 words, then you can usually pick out the rest from context. So that's encouraging. All right, well, I think we're about out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for all the people that are at this conference, Lord. We just pray that a lot of great soul winning and missions trips would happen as a result of this conference, Lord. And I pray that there would be some people that would be dedicated to learning foreign languages to bring the gospel to other groups of people besides just the English-speaking world. Bring the gospel to the Spanish-speaking world, the Portuguese-speaking world, the French-speaking world, etc. And Lord, I just pray that you just bless everyone who's here that has that vision and that goal. Give them the ability, Lord, and just give them wisdom and give them the endurance and diligence it's going to take to get it done. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so there is some downtime now, but there is a soul winning time at 5:40. But I'm sure that Brother Segor could probably send you out before that if you wanted to get that done earlier. But the official soul winning time is at 5:40, and then there is a screening of Deported at 5:40 and at 8 o'clock. If you need, is there anybody who needs a ride to the 5:40? You need a ride to 5:40. All right, I got one up here. Got another one here. So you couple of guys, I believe my wife is heading out in about maybe 20 minutes here for Deported. So you should be able to hitch a ride with her. And then 8 o'clock showing, Brother Corbin Russell is going to be bringing the church van at 8 o'clock. So there will be a ride for you guys then.